take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty, and welcome to a very special episode of the Russ Belville Show. It is our 500th daily podcast episode since beginning our live stream on June 4th, 2012. We're going to take a look way back into the archives to figure out just how the hell I ended up on the radio for 8 years now. Hard to believe it's been 8 years, but yeah, 8 years I've been on the radio. We're going to take a look back in this retro spectacular. We'll have our regular 420 radio news, but that will be the only regular segment on today's show because everything else is going to be a look back at the places we've been, the people we've talked to here on the Russ Belville Show. This show actually got its start on XM Satellite Radio as the Russ Belville Show, and I got that show on XM Satellite thanks to a contest that I entered that was being held here in Portland, Oregon, and 23 other radio stations around the country back when they were trying to make liberal talk radio in the middle of the second George W. Bush administration. It was AM 620 KPOJ here in Portland, a liberal talk channel that had a search for the next great progressive talk radio star. The only requirement was to send in a 2-minute audition audio tape or MP3 file to the station to show what you would be like on the radio. I decided to tackle that very important war that was going on at that time. All right, we got 20 after here at the Radical Russ Show. I'm Radical Russ, your red state refugee, bringing you common sense liberalism for the masses, because life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, well, they're non-negotiable as far as I'm concerned. It's what it means to be an American. All right, progressives, you know, it's autumn's in the air. The leaves are turning brown. We got an election coming up. There's a lot of problems in the world going on right now. So that means it's time for you and I and all us progressives to concentrate on the most important mission we have in our liberal agenda.
Wait, what? The war on Christmas. You guys got this written right? The war on Christmas. We got a war in Iraq and a war in Afghanistan that have almost claimed as many American soldiers' lives as were lost on 9/11. We've got tens of thousands, 20,000 people coming home with severe injuries. You want me to worry about whether someone said happy holidays and that offended some Christian because, oh, God forbid that my holiday is just equal to someone else's holiday that maybe other people have religions too. Oh boy, we can't have that. Boy, war on Christmas. Come on, Bill O'Reilly. Come on, all you culture warriors. Can't you give us something better than that? We're the big bad liberals. We're the big bad pinko commies. And that's the best we can do is ruin Christmas for you. Come on, you got to try harder than that. Give me a call out here at the talk radio, at the Radical Russ Show. Let's talk about it. Especially you, one of those people, you get one of those war on Christmas people. Please, please give me a call. We'd love to talk about that. Hey, you know what? And I've got another idea about this. Why don't we just trade wars? We'll give you up the war on Christmas. We promise you can have your Christmas trees and your Christmas lights and all of that kind of stuff. And you trade us the war on drugs. How about that? How about we save about $50 billion that we're spending on this stupid war on drugs and you can have the war on Christmas. How's that?
So there it was, my contest entry from 2006, submitted amongst many other entries at AM 620 KPOJ in Portland, and I won. It was picked as the best one in Portland, and from there, I made my way to the contest. When we come back for Behind the Headlines, I'll play you my finals contest entry that was judged by Ed Schultz of MSNBC. That's what got me my gig on XM Satellite Radio for 2 years. But first, we'll come back with the 420 Radio News. Stick around.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the activist radio station.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at norml.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
420radio.org is proud to replay the Hollywood Hemptress Hour with Terry Joyce from Portland, Oregon. Terry Joyce is a stand-up comedian and writer and was a former reality television star from the first season of Last Comic Standing. In 2007, she was caught up in a marijuana dispensary raid that made her a cannabis activist. Catch the replays Tuesday at 12 Pacific on 420radio.org. Five of the last nine major party candidates to run for president, three of the last nine vice presidential candidates, and the last three two-term presidents have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. This is the Russ Belville Show. It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, December 2nd, 2014. The White House review of police militarization ended Monday with no proposed major changes to federal programs that funnel military equipment to local law enforcement. A senior administration official said President Obama has no position on proposed legislation in Congress to curb the programs. The review began in response to the violence in Ferguson, Missouri, between protesters and local police. The administration is keeping its hands off the bipartisan militarization debate, which imploded after a brief surge in interest on Capitol Hill. Administration officials noted repeatedly that the vast majority of surplus military equipment sent to local police forces is not former combat equipment and said they could not alter programs created by Congress. Asked about proposed legislation to limit the availability of military equipment to local police, proposed by Democrats and Republicans in the House and Senate, the official said the White House has not reviewed the bills. Quote, I don't have a specific position for you, end quote, the official said. Theoretically, any state's marijuana law is under threat from the federal government. Washington State and Colorado legalized marijuana last year and have enacted an uneasy truce with the feds, who have agreed not to enforce laws for now. But it's of particular concern in Washington, D.C., where the relationship between the federal and local governments poses unique jurisdictional challenges. Although D.C. gained significant independence with the Home Rule Act of 1973, all its laws and budgets still need to be sanctioned by Congress, a body in which it has no voting representative. This setup renders the district especially vulnerable to the whims of national politicians, some of whom, historically at least, have prioritized partisan interests over D.C.'s right to self-determination. Legalized marijuana is the next chapter in this struggle. On Election Day, two-thirds of district voters supported Initiative 71, a ballot measure that makes limited pot possession legal. Congress will have 30 business days after the election's results are certified this month to review the initiative, as it does with all new laws in D.C. If Congress passes a joint resolution rejecting the ballot, President Obama could approve or veto their decision. In the latter case, the initiative would officially go into effect once the D.C. Council creates a system for regulations and sales, which was not a part of the ballot. It's still unknown what sort of regulations will come out of Alaska's marijuana rulemaking process, but the Coalition for Responsible Cannabis Legislation wants to help shape them. The group, made up of about a half a dozen people with interest in starting marijuana businesses, wants to make sure business voices are represented when it comes to establishing rules for Alaska marijuana sales. Not technically lobbyists, but more organized than the average group of citizens, the group hopes to bring a professional voice to the conversation about how to craft marijuana rules in Alaska. The idea isn't to make the process more difficult, but to provide guidance when it comes to making laws that won't stifle potential marijuana businesses. The members of the group are based in both Anchorage and Fairbanks. The group campaigned in favor of the ballot measure, even registering as a group with the Alaska Public Offices Commission. However, their involvement was low-key. Overall, they contributed about $4,200 to advocate for the campaign. Colorado and Washington both had medical marijuana dispensaries in place when legalization passed in 2012, but Alaska has none. Even though medical marijuana passed in Alaska in 1998, the state never set up a system for legally buying or selling the substance. Ballot Measure 2, an initiative passed by the voters in early November, sets up a framework for legalizing, taxing, and selling recreational marijuana in Alaska. Is Denver University the only top 100 law school in America with an honest-to-goodness marijuana law class? Denver University's scenic South Denver campus is a stone's throw away from some busy recreational pot shops, and soon, students at DU's Sturm College of Law will have the opportunity to take a class on cannabis law, representing the Marijuana Client, or L4700. I don't know of anyone who's teaching anything like this, said Sam Kamen, who created the course and is the professor at Sturm College and the director of the school's Constitutional Rights and Remedies program. Everywhere I go, people ask me questions about it. People want to know about commercial real estate, what their rights are, and obligations when renting to someone with a grow. People have employment law questions similar to the Coates case. This class isn't, hey, this is how to sell a lot of pot. It's, here's all the issues that could come up if you're representing industry or the government. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, December 2nd, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. 420 Radio, the home of marijuana experts.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
There's so much I worry about as a mom. Stephen Harper thinks that organized crime should continue to profit from marijuana prohibition. Imagine regulating marijuana like alcohol and cigarettes with a strong and clear educational message, making it more difficult for my kids and your kids to access. Drug dealers don't ask for ID. Stephen Harper does not have the kind of judgment we need to protect our children, authorized by the Normal Women's Alliance of Canada.
Welcome back, everyone. 13 after the hour, and we're continuing our 500th show, Retro Spectacular, with a look back at my early radio career. I began on XM Satellite Radio because I won a national contest called The Search for the Next Great Progressive Talk Radio Star. After I turned in my two-minute tape, I was thrown into the pool with a bunch of other people from radio stations all around the country. Eight of us were selected for live quarterfinals, four of us made the live semifinals, and then the live finals took place in Washington, D.C., where I flew out and I delivered this little mini rant.
The search for America's next progressive talk radio star begins here.
Let's get out of here. I have some really good weed back at the hotel.
Hey, man, has anybody got any Cheetos?
War on!
Certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free
drugs.
It's 30 after the hour, and you're back with Radical Russ Belville on The Search for the Next Progressive Talk Radio Star. We're here live at the Center for American Progress, taking your calls at 1-866-55-PRESS. And, you know, we're still celebrating the great election we had this month, which was absolutely a fabulous election, unless you're a pot-smoking homosexual. Not that there's anything wrong with that. We had three initiatives that were on the ballots in states all across the country here. In Nevada and Colorado, they were voting on legalizing personal use of marijuana, personal possession of marijuana. And in South Dakota, they were voting on medical marijuana to make it the 12th medical marijuana state. All three initiatives lost. In Nevada, they got only 44% of the vote. In Colorado, only 40. And in San Diego, 48% of the vote for medical marijuana. And you know, I work a lot with medical marijuana patients, and I can tell you honestly that this is a true medical miracle for very many people. When you've helped an 82-year-old woman who's never even touched a drug in her life, who's never even drank, and you've helped her out with her glaucoma, or you've dealt with a person in a wheelchair who's suffering severe pain, and you help them out with the medical marijuana, and you see that immediate reaction of pain relief, or someone with multiple sclerosis who's trembling so bad they can't even write their own name, and with a little medical marijuana, the tremors immediately calm down. I'm really, really excited about the upcoming Congress, because Congressman Barney Frank has been a sponsor, been a champion for the medical marijuana movement, and has always, every year he has sponsored this bill, the state's rights to medical marijuana, which the idea is if the states have decided to have medical marijuana, the federal government should leave them alone. And as far as I'm concerned, that's just a no-brainer. The fact that Marinol and Sativex, these extracts of marijuana that can be bottled and price tagged and put a barcode on, those are legal in America. Those are Schedule III drugs. They can completely be used by anyone. But marijuana, the raw ingredient, is illegal all across the country. And I think part of this problem here is that we've got a moral issue that we're dealing with. You know, we've got everybody, you know, when you hear legalize, it's tee-hee, it's just a joke, it's just a bunch of stoners looking to get high. But really, this is something that progressive needs to stand up for and fight against this drug war. We've got a prison population that's at 2 million people, the largest prison population in the world, and over half those people are in there for drug offenses. We spend $50 billion every year at the state and federal level to fight this war on drugs, and nothing we do is having any effect on drug use at all over the past three decades. High school kids still say it's easier to get marijuana than it is to get beer. Why? Because people who sell beer check for IDs, that's why. But, you know, this is a moral issue. You know, I come from America's heartland, you know, the Intermountain West, Idaho, and I always think that people really aren't voting against marijuana so much as they're voting against the summer of love in their backyard. They don't want to have dirty, stinky, tie-dyed hippies with dreadlocks running around all over the place. But you know, we're wasting time. We're wasting time and money and lives with this war on drugs. And the first step, folks, the first step is that we need to separate the marijuana issue from the rest of the drugs issue. The National Survey on Drug Use and Health shows from 2004 that 85% of your drug users only smoke marijuana. And is anyone really afraid of the marijuana smoker? I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen? They make a run on the Cheetos? You know, we run out of our national supply of Cheetos. Is that the worst thing that's going to happen here? It's not like the meth freaks are out there stealing metal off of bridges or the coke fiends that are going to rob you to get their next fix. So let's separate that issue right away. And here's my tack on this. We flip the morality. Let's flip the morality on this issue. If people have a negative impression of people who use marijuana, let's use that to our advantage. Let's say tax the deadbeat stoners. This is a billion-dollar industry, folks. Billions of dollars that people are making completely untaxed. Completely, you know, I'd rather see that money going to help schools and to help our education system, to help our healthcare system, rather than having some, you know, pothead make money for his VW bus. Let's tax the stoners. There was a Harvard study that came out last year. Jeffrey Miron and Milton Friedman and 500 economists signed on and said, if we tax and regulated marijuana like alcohol, we would make $14 billion a year. $14 billion a year in savings and tax revenue. So, that's something for you to think about, progressives out there. Think about that war on drugs, and if you're not standing up against it, then I question just how progressive you are. Anyway, it's 36 after the hour, and that's it for me, Radical Russ Belville, on the search for the next progressive talk radio star. It's been great talking with you, America, and many thanks go out to the Center for American Progress Action Fund for sponsoring the contest, and the folks at AM620 KPOJ in Portland for assisting. And most important, to my beautiful wife, who insisted that I enter this contest. Yes, honey, you were right, and you told me so. Goodbye, America. Thank you.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech? Drug school.
Well, I guess technically I did, since I never had any radio school or radio experience before that contest. But yes, I ended up winning in a 3-2 vote that was decided by MSNBC's Big Ed Schultz, who said he liked my take on the war on drugs. It seemed to be pretty prophetic because I've been talking about it ever since. More highlights, more clips from the past when we come back.
420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012.
Hey, tokers and tokettes, Radical Russ here for the Canador, a practical solution to keep herbs from drying. The Canador is the perfect airtight storage system for your fine herbs. From the half-inch thick walnut and cherry wood construction, clear-top perforated jars for storage, and the humidity bead system that keeps your herbs at a perfect 65% relative humidity. I keep all my herbs in the Canador, and you should too. Check out Canador.com for more information.
Drug Policy Facts, replaying Fridays at 11 Pacific on 420radio.org.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everyone. 22 after the hour, and we're taking a break from the Drug War Data Mine today for our 500th show retro spectacular. We just finished up with my winning piece on the search for the next great progressive talk radio star. That took place at the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. before a live audience. Excuse me there. And that meant that I won the contest, and winning the contest was, the prize was a one-year contract show on XM Satellite Radio, the Russ Belleville Show. I was on the liberal talk radio dial. They had a liberal channel, and I was on every weekend for 3 hours a day. I was also carried on AM 620 KPOJ, terrestrial radio here in Portland, Oregon. That station no longer exists. It's an ESPN station now. But back in the day, I was on the XM satellite for what was supposed to be a year, 2006 through 2007, but it actually lasted until the very beginning of 2009. I was on the air for 20 months. Actually, the show started April of 2007, and I was on until January of 2009, a little more than 20 months, actually, a pretty long time, over 2 years that I was on the air. And while I was there, I got to cover the last couple of years of the George W. Bush administration from the point of view of a liberal talk radio host. So it was almost like playing T-ball. It was far too easy with all the scandals and trials and tribulations and the Iraq war and everything that was going on. Plenty of subjects to cover, and especially when you're in Portland, Oregon, which is a pretty liberal place to begin with. But I have to say my favorite moment of my XM satellite career happened because not of Oregon, but because of my home state of Idaho, where Senator Larry Craig, who had been a senator, I think I had voted for Larry Craig in the first election I ever voted. I don't know that I voted for him, but likely because I was a young Republican back then. But Larry Craig had been a representative or a senator for all of my life. And the news broke in 2009 that he was caught in an airport bathroom in Minneapolis, Minnesota, using code to try to set up a gay rendezvous in the bathroom. This became a huge scandal. It got national news attention and pretty much forced Larry Craig, the senator from Idaho, into retirement. I made a parody song to detail the allegations and some of his quotes. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you all very much for coming out today.
A naughty boy.
I think this is despicable.
I don't hit on any men. I don't go around anywhere hitting on men, and by God, if I did, I wouldn't do it in Boise, Idaho.
I tend to spread my legs when I lower my pants so they won't slide.
Okay.
You're a naughty boy.
I don't do those things.
I'm not gay, and I don't cruise, and I don't hit on men.
Nasty, bad, naughty boy.
I am not gay.
Let me be clear. I am not gay. I never have been gay. I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
I'm a fairly wide guy. I don't seek activity in bathrooms.
I was not involved in any inappropriate conduct. I overreacted and made a poor decision. I chose to plead guilty to a lesser charge in hopes of making it go away. I am not gay.
Nasty, bad, naughty boy.
I am not gay.
I'm not gay, and I don't cruise, and I don't hit on men.
I am not gay. I don't do these kind of things, and
it doesn't matter. I don't care about sexual preference or anything like that because you're still bad here.
I should not have kept this arrest to myself, and I should have told my family and my friends about it. I wasn't eager to share this failure, but I should have anyway, because I am not gay. Thank you very much.
Senator, what happened in Minneapolis?
Hey, what if you were gay? Come out of the closet.
420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life, conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult marijuana prohibition in our Cannabis Community Chat.
Welcome back, 29 After the Hour, continuing our 500th show, Retro Spectacular, by looking back at some of the events and transitions that have occurred over my 8 years on the radio. After the XM satellite gig ended because of the merger of XM and Sirius, they had twice as many hosts, I was one of the ones they let go. I was fortunate to land in the gig for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, which had a daily audio stash podcast. This is a clip from my very first podcast.
Yes, it's time for our local normal chapter profile, and I hope you can all forgive me for staying close to home. having just started the podcast here, I haven't had the opportunity to get in touch with all the other 49 states out there that are working hard to end adult marijuana prohibition. So we're going to go here to my home state of Oregon, where the activists of Oregon Normal are working hard to fight against the latest efforts in the legislature to discriminate against medical marijuana patients. We sat down with the executive director of Oregon Normal and a newly elected member of the Normal National Board of Directors, Ms. Madeline Martinez, by telephone at her home in Portland, Oregon. We're speaking with Madeline Martinez, the executive director of Oregon Normal, and congratulations are in order. I understand you've just been elected to the National Board of Directors for Normal.
Yes, that is true. Thank you so much, Russ. I appreciate you mentioning that. Yes, it was a little bit of a shock, but yeah, I have finally been elected to that board. It's very exciting, very thrilling.
Well, it's good to see that we're getting, we're embracing diversity on the national level here. You're, of course, one of the leading normal organizations out there in the country, especially one of the few headed by, I believe, a minority woman. So this is a great news for Normal, I believe.
Yes, the first Latina. So that is quite a thrill.
Yeah, we always try to reach out to all audiences here. And, of course, the minority audiences would need the most outreach because they're, of course, the people that are most affected by our draconian drug laws.
That's correct, Russ. As you know, the majority of people that are incarcerated for marijuana offenses are, in fact, minorities. My people are hit really, really hard. You know, I'm Mexicana, and that seems to be a big one.
Well, one of the main focuses of the Oregon chapter of Normal, I understand, is the medical marijuana law. Oregon has one of the best medical marijuana laws, under many people's opinion, in the United States. So tell the listeners here to the Normal Daily Audio Stash, what is it that Oregon Normal's involved with in helping people with medical marijuana?
Well, one of the things that we're involved with that has become the most successful, of course, is the Oregon Medical Cannabis Awards, which is a strain evaluation. And secondly, we really take the lead here in Oregon on legislative issues. We have a legislative analyst, Alicia Williamson, and we work at the legislature to try to prevent and protect the Oregon medical marijuana law from being, let's say, taken apart by our opponents.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of people out there listening who are in the states, one of the 38 states that don't have a medical marijuana law, and I know that they're probably, you know, just wishing they could just get a medical marijuana law, but, you know, that's not when the battle ends. It seems to us that once you get the law, that's when the real fights begin.
That's right, Russ. The big problem we have is that we do have opponents that think that medical marijuana is the road to legalization. And nothing could be further from the truth. There's so many of us that suffer from debilitating medical conditions, and this is the only medicine that you can use that doesn't leave you feeling that you're in a drug-induced stupor, but actually allows you to live a nice, comfortable quality of life by tempering your pain. 75% of the people that are enrolled in the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program are enrolled because they suffer from severe chronic pain.
Yeah, it's amazing when we can prescribe all sorts of opiate-based medications that anyone would have a problem with, the recommendations for medical marijuana. But apparently some of your opponents out there in the state of Oregon have been raising quite a ruckus at the legislature. And for those of you who don't follow Oregon politics, there's normally a legislative session every odd year. This year they declared an emergency session. And tell the folks about what some of their tactics were here against medical marijuana in this year's special session.
Well, in this year's special session that was supposed to be dedicated to our struggling budget, instead some of our opponents and Representative Mike Schaffler of Happy Valley here in Oregon has decided to take it upon himself to introduce legislation that would actually harm patients by not allowing them to test for drug impairment, but rather for using urinalysis to determine if they have cannabis metabolites in their system.
Right, and of course the cannabis metabolites don't...
causing patients, hard-working disabled Oregonians, to face losing their job, their livelihood.
Absolutely, and Oregon, for the people that don't know, has over, what is it now, 16,000 registered patients?
You know, the last number I looked at, Russ, is very close to 17,000.
Wow. And so we're talking about taking 17,000 people who just happened to use marijuana rather than some other drug to relieve their pain and suffering, and hanging up the "No Medical Marijuana Patients Need Apply" sign at the employment office. Some of the bills out there were pretty draconian, weren't they?
They certainly were. And the biggest problem that we have is here we are, hardworking Oregonians, disabled, but we don't want to go on the welfare rolls. We want to be productive members of society and feed our families. And we're not asking for special treatment. We're just asking for equal protection under the law.
Yeah, that's always the downside of working with the marijuana issue, is that marijuana, unlike so many of the other drugs that they might test for, remains in one's system for anywhere from 2 weeks to 30 days following ingestion. So, of course, there's no way that a medical marijuana patient could pass a test that's based on testing for marijuana metabolites. Now, I understand we also have in Oregon an ally who is working toward the impairment issue.
Yes, Representative Peter Buckley from Ashland, Oregon, is working really hard with us. We also have the great Representative Diane Rosenbaum, who's also one of our champions, and they are both working on impairment testing for the 2009 legislative session.
So that's an interview from 2008 with Madeline Martinez. She went on to head up the world-famous Cannabis Cafe here in the state of Oregon, which will be rising from the ashes again, I'm sure, very, very soon. Now, we continue on with 2008 and 2009. As I continued on in my career with Normal, I got the chance to interview many, many great guests, and this opportunity was one of my favorites. It was Tommy Chong, my interview with him from 2009.
One of the questions that always has to get asked here, and it's been a long-standing rumor, as to whether or not there'd be any future reunions of the Cheech and Chong comedy team, perhaps in a movie.
Well, we're talking again. That's one good thing. We had a 420 reunion at a movie house when they screened Up in Smoke.
Oh, good.
And Cheech was there, and he was very cordial to me, and, you know, he's nice. He's not swearing at me anymore. So
that's a positive step, I suppose.
Yeah, that's a positive step. You know, it looks good. I'm not going to make any announcements until you know it's actually happening. But it's in the works for sure.
Well, I would think, you know, with the recent success of so many marijuana themed movies, the Harold and Kumar series, for example, I mean, the public would be just aching for that. I'm sure you guys would make a mint if there was a new Tommy Chong and Cheech movie.
Yeah, I have no doubt whatsoever. You know, that we would be doing very well.
All right. And, you know, looking back to your time in prison, you know, talking about this Operation Pipe Dreams, you spent 9 months in a federal correctional facility. What were some of the lessons that you took out of that, you know, being within the system like that?
Well, it was a life-changing event for me. You know, first of all, I had to get reach into my spiritual bag. You know, that I'd always had with me, but I never really went there. You know, when you're a successful movie actor, you're kind of busy with the fame and the fortune. But it slowed me down enough to make me realize, you know, what's really important in life. And then I utilized the time to read a lot. And then I also wrote a book, you know, The I Chong. I wrote that in prison. And even the documentary, a.k.a., there's a film clip of me or a news clip of me talking about, you know, jail. And I said, well, you know, who's to say that jail's a bad thing? You know, you go to jail, you write a great book, you know. That's exactly what I did. And I was talking about that back in the 70s. So the prison thing really was, I would say without a doubt, without hesitation, that it was a single most important thing that's happened to me, to my life.
That was Tommy Chong from 2009. Now, as I continued doing the Normal Daily Audio Stash, I learned one thing, and that was doing a podcast that was recorded was much more difficult than doing a live show. With a live show, you just take the mistakes and you move on, but with a recorded podcast, you always try to get it perfect. Unfortunately, my second live show took place at the Portland Hemp Stock, and I had to deliver live breaking news of Jack Herer's heart attack. This was Jack Herer's last speech right before that heart attack.
This man is a hero and an icon and a trailblazer, a pioneer. He's the author of the book, The Emperor Wears No Clothes. Really, if you think about it, he's one of the founding fathers of the modern cannabis re-legalization movement. And I want you to put your hands together and show your love. Are you coming around this way? For the one and only Jack Herer, everybody. Jack Herer.
Some of these people know me from 1984. I came up here to Oregon and Washington. We did an initiative over and over and over and over and over again. We bought a store, we put on the store over and over and over again, and we put on the ballot, and we bought in 1980, 98, this, we passed the initiative, we went out and got the fucking signatures.
Yeah.
And we passed the initiative. Now I will tell you, we sold that with once a little bit of rain will fall, but it's okay because we got it through medicine. We, in a year before that, we bought it with medicine in California, and Dennis Perone and me went down there and got 750,000 signatures, and we put it on the ballot for medicine. And we got it all over the fucking state except for red areas like San Diego. Uh, 14 years after we passed the law, it's still going up. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing fucking better for the human race than having marijuana morning, noon, and night. Yeah! You have 2 years longer than people that don't smoke and don't drink, and 8 to 24 years longer than people that do. You gotta be out of your mind not to smoke dope. Yeah. Once you know this, not even 2 years longer if you smoke it, if you eat the seed out of 3 million seeds and foodstuff on earth, the number one thing in the whole world is hemp from 1 to 100 before you get to soybeans. 1 to 100. The first, second, third, 50th, 90th, 100th things of everything on earth, and the number one thing to 100 is hemp seed. And that's against the law. We didn't know it in public school, high school, or college. I didn't know that 98% of all the food and clothing of the whole world was hemp. It was the best thing the world has ever had. I don't want to fucking live in the United States government one fucking dollar of taxes. I thought today that you're a fucking jail for getting you and me and 20 million people getting arrested for pot is the safest thing you can do in the universe. And that is what we're going to do in California. Okay? Come over to my booth. Come over there. And I will see you next time.
Let's give it up for Jack Herrera, everybody.
That, of course, the great Jack Herrera, who gave that speech and then backstage shortly after the speech had the heart attack that eventually claimed his life. I had to report on my second live show. The ambulance is approaching the backstage. Jack hung on for another few months and then died on tax day, April 15th, 2010. This was from Hempstock, September of 2009. When we come back, more highlights from my 8 years on the radio after the anti-drug PSA of the day. We'll bring you highlights from the Proposition 19 concession speeches when the first attempt at legalization in California, at least during my show's span, was attempted.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com and follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Yours?
No,
I... Your mother said she found it in your closet.
I don't know. One of the guys must have...
Must have what?
Look, Dad, it's
Where
not...
Where did you get it?
Dad,
answer me. Who taught you how to do this stuff?
You, all right? I learned it by watching you.
Parents who use drugs have children who use drugs.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
You can't handle the truth.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
You have offended my family.
Hey, this is great, man.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
I know nothing.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We don't need no stinking budget.
Homosexuality.
Down the centuries, you have slurred the meaning of the words, we, the people.
Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana.
You could ask yourself a question, do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
All right, continuing our 500th show, Retro Spectacular, we move forward to 2010, November of 2010, our first show after the fateful election of Prop 19 in California, where we failed to get legalization in the first of what would then be now, what is now, three successive electoral tries. We were at Oaksterdam when we heard from Richard Lee and the rest of the campaign. and got their comments for the show.
Normal, unlike any other marijuana or drug reform organization, is built from the ground up by grassroots activists. We are the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, and we aren't just anti-prohibition, we're pro-marijuana. Every week, we take some time to talk to the citizens of local Normal chapters across the country and around the world, as well as others who are working to make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition. In this segment, we call Grassroots Activism.
Welcome back, everyone. 32 after the hour, we bring you recordings from our live coverage of election night at headquarters in Prop 19.
All right, we are readying for the Prop 19 press conference here. Dale Sky Jones on the stage.
Good evening, Amsterdam.
I can hear you, finally. So we are joined live downstairs in the parking lot by countless thousands or hundreds of thousands that want to know what we have to say. And first and foremost, thank you, California, for a healthy debate. We appreciate the tremendous victory in pushing this issue forward. In fact, yes, give yourselves a round of applause. We've taken this issue further than anyone ever has. Congratulations to you all. And we look forward to continuing this discussion. We've already had consensus amongst our opposition that current policy has failed, and it's just a matter of taking the next step forward. We've already started working with elected officials and had great conversations. We have a coalition that is, bar none, the best ever built, and we're planning on meeting with a coalition of our opposition to take the next step here at the end of January. We already have the plan in place. So we finally got what we need to get the engine started. We're not kicking off from zero anymore, folks. We are on the freeway. We are mainstream. We have made this happen. Thank you. You have made this happen. This is the debate heard around the world, and I would like to introduce the man that started the conversation, Mr. Richard Lee.
Thank you. All right. All right, settle down, settle down. We won tonight. We won for the last 6 months, the last year, all the years we've been fighting. We're going to keep fighting. We've made such great breakthroughs with this campaign, and the biggest breakthrough is all the allies we've gotten on board, the people on the stage here behind me. It's really been amazing, the support we've gotten. First of all, I have to start with Dan Rush and the UFC, W number 5, United Food Commercial Workers. These guys got on board last Christmas. Law enforcement against prohibition. These guys been right there with us. The Drug Policy Alliance, Stephen Gutwillig and Ethan Nadelman. But then this summer we had the volunteers come on board, and it's really been amazing to see those guys come every day, make the phone calls. James is here, headed him up. And the next guy, we quickly named him Super Dave because the thousands of calls he made. Him and about six other volunteers. They really showed you what it's all about, and that's why we're going to win, is because of that energy. You know, they're the future. They're the ones who are going to keep fighting. Yeah, but I'm really, it's amazing. Perry, up here with the online, you should get up here. Perry, how are you not doing up here? Get up here. How about Mauricio, the campaign manager? Why aren't you up here? And how could I forget people I've been working with for like 20 years, Chris and Mickey, Chris Conrad, Mickey Norris. Yeah. And then I saved the last two, guy I've been working with here in Oakland. I first met him in 1995. I was going to move to San Francisco, but then I met Jeff and found out what he was doing with the OCBC. Jeff Jones, everybody. My co-proponent. And his beautiful wife, Dale, who's been our great spokesperson. You already heard from. And last but not least, all the soldiers from Bulldog Company, people I've been had the honor to lead into battle for the last 10 years. They're the ones who did the work over the years that really made it possible for us to get on the ballot so that these guys could do all the great work on the campaign and to build toward the next victory. So thanks again, everybody, for all the support, and we're on it together, and we're going to win. So thanks again. Couple more I forgot. So many people to thank. It's like the Oscars or something, huh? They're going to turn the music up on me. Alan St. Pierre, you should be up here with Normal, all the work Normal's done for all the years. And then, of course, how could I forget? None of us would be here. I wouldn't be here without my parents. My mom and dad are here. You want to say a quick word, Mom?
To say we are proud of Richard is such a small thing to say. I've worked in politics all my life, and I've never had a campaign that I think means as much to the whole world as this one does. And I just... got to put an end to the racism that has come about with the drug war.
Yes. Amen.
And my mission now is that if the Republicans that I have supported really believe in cutting spending, they need to do it with the funds for the war on drugs.
That's the amazing Ann Lee, mother of Richard Lee, who put up $1.5 million of his own money to bank on Prop 19, the first attempt in modern times to legalize statewide. Got major, major attention. At least the first attempt since I've been doing this job. There were attempts in 2004 and 2006 to legalize statewide, 2002 as well, but I believe Prop 19 is the one that really got the ball rolling for legalization to happen in this country. We couldn't have done it in Washington and Colorado in 2012 without Prop 19 in 2010 opening the door and bringing it to political discussions everywhere on the left and the right. My thanks always go out to Richard Lee, and I'd note that Ann Lee, after making that speech, went on to form Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition, and 4 years later, it's going strong in Texas. That's all the time we got for Hour 1. Stay tuned for Hour 2. More clips coming up. And until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.